Well, let's do this. Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And we're going to grow tonight in God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So glad. I love Sunday nights around here. And they're just kind of laid back. And Sunday nights are awesome, awesome time to really grow in the Word of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this is, if you'll remember, a few weeks ago, I did a thing, the Lord's Supper. That was 2 weeks ago. We did the Lord's Supper, and I didn't have a lot of time. We kind of dove in a little bit to 1 Corinthians 2, talking about the wisdom of the cross. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 2, the word wisdom keeps popping up. It says there in verse 1, "And our brethren," Paul said to the church at Corinth, he said, "when I came to you," talking about when he first came to them on his missionary journey, he said, "I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." You go down to verse 4, he said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Verse 5, "that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Verse 6, "howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect," those who are mature, "yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Man, this passage of Scripture just profoundly explains to us the wisdom of our God. When the Apostle Paul went to Corinth, he kept the message very simple when he first went there. He said, you know, in verse 2, he said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And, you know, he talks about how my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. And so he kept it simple. But as people got saved, he was there a year and a half, the Bible says in the book of Acts 18. He was there a year and a half teaching the Word of God. And so Corinth was this city that was just full of worldly wisdom. I mean, you had Greek intellectuals and Greek philosophers, and they were always espousing their profound beliefs and doctrines and theories. Paul says in verse 6, if you look at it again, "howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world." Notice what's going to happen. What's going to happen to the wisdom of this world? It's going to come to what? To naught. Nothing. It means it's going to be useless. No effect. It's going to vanish away. That's so true. You know, the world's wisdom changes with the times. And it changes with culture. You know, and it changes with people's whims and people's fancies. And I mean, just to show you, just a kind of a silly illustration, but you look at cars. And look at cars in 19... When did they first came out with cars? 19... What? Is anybody alive then? 1896? So, have you noticed that cars look different now? Hey, when I grew up, remember the bigger the better? Remember that? Remember the tanks we used to drive around? You know, and these humongous, you know, cars. And man, they were just huge. And it's kind of funny to look at, you know, at one time that was in. You know, that was the wisdom of the world. Man, this is the best car. This is the way the cars need to look. And man, it just changes with the times. That's exactly the way the world's wisdom is. It changes with the times. It changes with culture. It changes with people's whims. It changes with people's fancies. And man, what looks so awesome, it looks so bright, and it looks so intelligent, we look back at some of those cars now and we laugh, you know. But yet, that was the wisdom of the world at that time. So, you know, the wisdom of the world is always changing. God's wisdom is unchanging. And God's wisdom is going to have an impact that's going to last out into eternity. And we began looking at the fact that God's wisdom centers on the cross of Christ. Folks, if you want to know what the focal point of God's wisdom is you don't have to look any further than the cross. The cross is so simple that a child can understand what Jesus did. But yet it's so deeply profound that well-educated, bright, intellectual people can miss it. And we talked about the fact that Satan himself missed it. Had Satan understood what was taking place on the cross and what it would mean to people for the last 2,000 years in this age of grace, certainly Satan would have never instigated the cross. The wisdom of the cross. What is the wisdom of the cross? Well, here's what it is. When Christ died on the cross, it wasn't just, a good man, the tide turned against him, and this good man got beat up, and he just kind of suffered unjustly. No, look, there was something taking place on that cross that nobody knew about. And that is that Christ was offering himself as a substitutionary atonement for you and I. Aren't you glad for that tonight, huh? He was dying in our place. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ what? Died for us. He died a substitutionary atonement for us. Not only that, He was absorbing the wrath of God for us on the cross. He was taking the wrath that you and I deserve because we violated God's law, and He was taking the wrath of God that we deserve, and He was absorbing that wrath of God as the propitiation. That's what that means. He was absorbing that wrath as our propitiation for our sins. And because He died on that cross, then that means that relationships between God and man can now be reestablished, and now sinful mankind can be reconciled to a holy God. That's amazing. And all of this was taking place on the cross. Satan didn't know it. It was as, if you look down there at verse 7, it says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom," which we're going to talk more about that here in a minute. But, you know, I mentioned to you back there a couple weeks ago, I said, you know, some people get the idea Christ was a good man, and He got beat up real bad and was killed by an angry mob without a cause. And that's exactly what Satan thought. Satan thought, man, I have won this thing. I have put Him to death. I have defeated Him. I got Judas to betray Him. I got the Jews to cry out for His crucifixion. I got the Romans to go along with this. Satan did not understand the spiritual ramifications of what took place on that cross. He didn't understand that He was being an atonement for our sins and that He was absorbing the wrath of God for sin. He had no idea, Satan, that eternal life was going to be offered to multitudes for the past 2,000 years because of what happened on that cross. You remember we went to Hebrews 2:14 and read that verse where it says that the devil, or that Christ, through death, destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. I am so glad to know that my Savior conquered the devil on the cross that day. And He conquered him, He defeated him, and He did it through death. That's what's amazing. I mean, that's pretty incredible. Through death, the Bible says, He destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, to deliver them who through fear of death all their lifetime were subject to bondage. And aren't you glad to know that we don't have to fear death? Amen? We don't have to fear death because of the substitutionary atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. We do not have to worry. We do not have to fret. He has delivered us from the fear of death by destroying the devil through death on the cross. So the wisdom of God centers on the cross. Number two, God's wisdom in the cross was ordained before the world. I want you to look at verse 7. It says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom," now notice the next phrase, "which God ordained," when? "Before the world unto our glory." I want you to take your Bible and get ready to turn, okay? And I want to show you three things that God determined before the foundation of the world. First of all, God determined that He would adopt children into His family. Go to Ephesians chapter number 1. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1. God determined that He would adopt children into His family. And this was before the foundation of the world. Okay? Now, Calvinists will twist this all around, and they will try to make this say something it's not saying, okay? And they read into this. But let's look at it. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places," where? In Christ. "According," okay, "as He hath chosen us." Now, He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to people who have already believed. He's speaking to people who have already put their faith in Christ. He's speaking to people who, according to verse 13, the moment they believed, they were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He's speaking to people who are now in Christ. And He says, He chose us in Christ. It wasn't any merit of our own. That God, before the foundation of the world, in eternity past, God made a choice that He would have children. It isn't that He elected individuals. He said, okay, Larry Loftman, he's the one. No, He said, I'm going to choose those that are in Christ. And so as Paul writes to these people who are in Christ, he can let them know that, look, this time period that we're living in which God is adopting children into His family, He's letting them know this wasn't by accident. This isn't just something that God just all of a sudden sporadically decided to do. He's letting them know that before the foundation of the world, God had decided that He was going to adopt children into His family. In other words, if you'll look up here on the screen, and I'm going to use the one I used this morning. I thought I hadn't planned on using it, but I thought since I got it, I'm going to use it. Okay? This time period, for 2,000 years, God has been offering His grace to all of His enemies in the world. Starting, you know, you start with the Apostle Paul. He was the chief enemy, wasn't he, of God? God saved Paul by grace, and then through Paul revealed to us, He's offering His grace to all of His enemies in the world. And so this time period in which God's offering grace to all of His enemies in the world, Bible says we're all enemies of God by wicked works, And He has offered grace to us, but that decision to do that and to take children who were His enemies and adopt them into His family, the decision to do that was done in Christ way back here before the foundation of the world. God decided He would offer forgiveness of sins to all of His enemies in all nations. That decision was made in eternity past. And that's why Paul could say to these believers that were in Christ, hey, He chose us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. The only way you can become one of God's chosen is you got to be in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you can't be one of His chosen. But praise the Lord, the moment I believed the gospel, the moment I put my faith and trust in Him, I was placed in Christ and I became one of the elect and one of the chosen of God. Amen? That's exciting. I can tell you guys are excited too. That we should, now look what it says, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. God determined before the foundation of the world that He was going to adopt children, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. How? By Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. So it was God's will. Now listen. Here's the thing, it wasn't revealed, it was a secret, it was a mystery. But it was according to God's good pleasure, before the foundation of the world, He decided, I'm going to adopt children. And the way I'm going to choose who I adopt are those that are in Him, those who are in Christ. And all those that are in my Son, all those that are in Jesus, in Christ, I'm going to adopt them, and I'm also predestinating. God determined before the foundation of the world that all those that were in Christ were going to be adopted. They were going to be one of His adopted children. Aren't you glad to know that you're one of the adopted children of God? Amen? And that is something that was determined before the foundation of the world that God would offer this time period. Now, not only that, God determined that it was all going to happen through Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, if you'll turn over there. This passage here, actually, I'm sorry, chapter 3. This verse opens up Ephesians 1:4. Notice what the eternal purpose involved. Verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed, there it is, say it with me, in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, God determined that it was all going to happen through Christ. Take your Bible and go over to, let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's turn there. In the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1, and look with me at verse 18. It says, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. How were we redeemed? The Bible says, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Now notice this. "Who verily was foreordained," Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world, "but was manifest in these last times for you." Christ's death on the cross was not an accident. It did not catch God off guard. God was not up in heaven wringing His hands as they cried out, "Crucify Him." Folks, Jesus was the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. It was planned out that Christ would die for our sins. It was all, the Bible says, it was an eternal purpose that was determined in Christ Jesus. Not only that, God determined before the foundation of the world that He would offer eternal life to all those who would accept His Son. Go to the book of Titus, chapter 1. Titus, go back a few books here to the little book of Titus right after 1 and 2 Timothy. Okay, look at this verse. Titus 1, and let's look at verse 2. Titus 1, 2. "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised." When did He promise it, church? Can you give me a little bit more, Mike? "Before the world began." God determined before the foundation of the world that He would offer eternal life to those who would accept His Son. You know, sometimes you hear songs, gospel songs, and man, I mean, they get it real dramatic. And they talk about how that one day in heaven, God looked down on sinful man. And God said, "What are we going to do? Who's going to go? Who's going to rescue them?" And He searched through heaven. And then Jesus stood up and said, "I'll go." And so Jesus came to the earth to die for us. Folks, that kind of stuff may make emotionally moving music, but there isn't an ounce of truth in that. Amen? There's not any truth. That may really make, you know, "Whoa, just gave me goosebumps." Well, it may give you goosebumps, but folks, it isn't the Spirit doing it, it's the flesh. It's the way they're singing it, because it's not biblical, it's not right, it's not accurate. God wasn't up in heaven wringing His hands looking down, "Oh, everybody's sinful, what are we going to do? Oh, let's see, what are we going to do? Let's look around heaven." And Jesus stands up and says, "I'll go." No, that's not at all what happened. Christ's birth, His death, and His resurrection were all planned by God in eternity past. And that's why the Bible says in Galatians 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son." At just the right time, when God knew, okay, this is the time, this is the moment, this is the place, God sent forth His Son. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. God's wisdom in the cross was ordained before the world. Let me give you the last point. God's wisdom in the cross, if you go back to 1 Corinthians 2, God's wisdom in the cross, okay, was kept a secret. Boy, this is good stuff right here. Look at this with me. 1 Corinthians 2. Hope I didn't break this. Oh, good. It's still working. 1 Corinthians 2. And this is interesting here. Okay, let's read verse 7. It says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained the world before, which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Now look at this verse, "which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it," you see that? Had they understood the hidden wisdom of the cross, the Bible says they would not have what? Crucified the Lord of glory. Isn't that interesting? Let me ask you something. Whether the princes of this world are speaking of demons, devils, or whether it's speaking of literal princes as far as on the earth, whether it's speaking of the princes in, you know, that the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, whether it's speaking of that demonic host or speaking of the princes of this world, they're still filled with Satan. Okay, either way, it's the same thing, because the princes of this world would be endued with satanic wisdom. So why did they not know the eternal plans and wisdom of God in the cross? Why did the demons of hell, why did they not know the eternal plans? I mean, we just saw that the cross was ordained before the foundation of the world. Didn't we just see that? Didn't we? Just trying to wake y'all up a little bit. If we just saw that, well, if it was ordained way back here before the foundation of the world, then why didn't the princes of the world know about it? Why didn't they understand that? Why didn't they know the spiritual ramifications of the cross? I'll tell you exactly why. Because God kept a secret. Wake up. This is cool. If I see somebody sleeping, I can put this right on their forehead. I never thought of that. That's a good idea. I can even hit y'all on the balcony right there. I'm on Betty Kesey. She's awake though. But yeah, I can just nail you. If the sound man starts dozing, right there, Mike. But if you have the red dot on your forehead, you're asleep, all right? No, I'm just kidding. But listen, I shouldn't say it that way. Is there anybody you know that just can't keep a secret? Let's put it that way. Because nobody's going to raise their hand and say, "Yep, I'm the guy that can't keep a secret." So does anybody know somebody that can't keep a secret? You know, as soon as they know it, they got to tell somebody. They're only going to tell one person, but then that one person is going to tell one person. And I always tell people, and I tell my staff, you know, if you ever don't want something repeated, there's only one way. Don't tell anybody. Because if you tell one person, they got one close friend they can trust. And then they got one close friend they can trust. And then they got one, you know, you get the point. You might as well take out a spot on the radio, you know. God can keep a secret. God can keep a secret. The Bible says there in verse 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a what? A mystery." You know what that word mystery means in the Bible? Something that was hidden that is now made manifest. Paul said, "Now we know. Now we speak it. Now it's been revealed." And we're going to learn as we go through the book of Galatians on Wednesday nights, and which I'm going to start one of these weeks. I'm going to start Galatians. And when we go through Galatians, we're going to see that when God decided it was time to reveal the secret of what happened on that cross, He revealed it through the Apostle Paul. Something hidden that's now known. That's a mystery. And then if you look down at verse 7, it says, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." And then notice this next phrase. Even the what? Yeah, the hidden wisdom. hidden wisdom. So now, stay with me, okay? There was a realm of knowledge and information that God was going to accomplish through the cross that He didn't tell anybody. Now, I want you to understand this, because some of you are wondering, well, what about in the prophets? Don't they talk about, yeah, in the prophets, they make allusions to the cross, but you know what? They didn't tell how it was all going to fit together. They did not reveal. They revealed that there would be a Messiah that would come, there would be a Messiah who would die. But as far as the spiritual ramifications of what would happen about being a substitutionary atonement, about Him through that cross now offering eternal life by faith alone to all of His enemies in the world, the fact that He was absorbing the wrath of God for our sin, they were thinking in terms of Israel. You know, these were... Israel was totally in view. These were Jewish prophets, and they're thinking of, okay, this Messiah is going to come, and the Bible says that they were trying to figure it all out. They couldn't figure out how it all was going to fit together, according to Peter. It was the hidden wisdom of the cross, that through the cross, forgiveness would be available to all, not just Israel, but forgiveness was going to be available to all people of all nations. That eternal life was going to be offered as a free gift because of what Christ did on the cross. That through faith alone in Christ once for all sacrifice, that men would be saved, men would be brought into an eternal relationship with God. All of this was revealed through the Apostle Paul. You see, God revealed certain little facts, but He kept hidden how it was all going to fit together and how it was all going to come together. Even the disciples. Christ said, you know, right before He's fixing to go to the cross, He said, I got to go to Jerusalem, I've got to suffer many things, and I'm going to be crucified. And the Bible says that the disciples, they've been walking with Him for 3 years. The Bible says they understood none of these things. They were sorrowful. They didn't get it. They didn't put it all together. They had the prophets. They knew the Old Testament, but yet they couldn't put it together. In fact, if you look and you read, kind of as a good follow-up this morning, we're talking about the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, when God sent His Spirit to fill the apostles, they're still looking for that kingdom. They had just got done asking Him, "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom again to Israel?" They're looking for that kingdom. So on the day of Pentecost, you're not going to see Peter preaching the blessedness of the cross. I will glory in the cross. That there was a substitution made on the cross. That there was an atonement made on the cross. And if you'll just put your faith in what He did on the cross, that He'll save you. That's not what Peter preached. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost to the nation of Israel. And he said, you need to repent. You've taken the Lord, you've taken your Messiah, you've crucified Him. You ought to be ashamed. This is a terrible thing you've done. And Peter, he didn't preach the cross the way we preach the cross. Why? It hadn't been revealed yet. The mystery hadn't been revealed. That hidden wisdom hadn't been let out of the bag yet. That's going to come several years later through Paul. Peter and all the boys, they're preaching what they know at that point. And that is, Israel, you need to repent. And you better turn to Christ. Like we talked about this morning, that's why they were selling everything they had. They were doing exactly what Christ told them to do. In view of that coming kingdom, Jesus said, sell all that you have. That's exactly what they did. Peter didn't understand the hidden wisdom of the cross there on the day of Pentecost. Read it. I challenge you, read it. And that's why, you know, so many times preachers get all freaked out over things like Acts 2:38. Just take it in its context. It's to Israel. And they're preaching what they know at that point. And that's why He told them you need to repent. Then what? When you need to be baptized, you need to repent of crucifying Him and then identify with Him in baptism. Then you'll receive the Holy Spirit, He told Israel. That was necessary for them at that point in history. But then as we move on, God progressively reveals Himself, and God began to reveal the hidden wisdom of the cross to Paul and exactly what happened on that cross and how that now salvation is made available to the whole world by simply putting their faith in what He did on that cross, believing that He made an atonement for your sins, believing He died in your place, believing that He bore God's wrath for you. Go over to Ephesians chapter 3 and we'll end with this tonight. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. This is so great right here. Ephesians 3, 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you, what?
Gentiles.
He's speaking to us. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given who? He said, Paul said it was given to me, now to you ward. How that by revelation, He, Christ, made known unto me, there it is. What did Christ make known unto Him? The what?
The mystery.
As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. That hidden wisdom, that mystery. Which in other ages was not made known. Remember, God kept a secret. It was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. See, beginning with Paul, it began to be revealed, and then God began to reveal it to the other prophets. Look at verse 6. Here it is, that the Gentiles, the enemies of God, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Verse 7, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable, I love that phrase, the unsearchable what? Riches of Christ. And look at verse 9. Look what Paul's passion was. Look what his purpose was. And to make all men see. He wanted their eyes to be opened. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been, there it is, it's been what, church? Hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent, now this is good, stay with it, to the intent that now we're in present tense, now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, that's speaking of the angelic host. Woo! This is getting good. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, that's the angelic host, notice, to them might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Man, if no one else is excited, I am. Woo! Do you realize what that's saying? That is saying that we teach the angels about the wisdom of God. That hidden wisdom before the foundation of the world, that mystery that was hidden in God before the foundation of the world, then God revealed it through the Apostle Paul, what happened on that cross, and that God was offering to all of His enemies reconciliation through faith in Jesus Christ, the atoning sacrifice of Jesus. Listen, folks, the Bible says by the church, that's us, those who are in Christ, we reveal to the angelic host the manifold wisdom of God. In other words, when the angels, and they could be watching us right now thinking, man, that guy is carried away. That guy's a nut. The angels, I'm sure, there's some watching us right now that we cannot see. And when the angels see us standing as who we are in Christ, when they see us standing as heirs and part of the family of God, when they see us accessing into the very presence of God in prayer through the blood that's redeemed us, they are instructed about the wisdom of God and the cross that made it so. And that's why Satan hates the Christians so much, because you're a living demonstration of the wisdom of God through the cross. And you're a reminder to Satan of his ignorance in not being able to figure out that secret, that hidden wisdom, that mystery. You demonstrate the wisdom of God. Listen, Christian, as you stand in Christ and as you access into the very presence of God in prayer, as a child of God, an heir of God, a adopted child in the family of God, as you do that, you demonstrate the wisdom of God as superior to the wisdom of Satan. Whew. And that's why the Apostle Paul, there in Corinthians, says, even the hidden wisdom, which had the princes of this world known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They crucified Him and it blew up in their face. And now for the last 2,000 years, those who believe on Christ and are saved, we demonstrate to the angelic host and to the demonic host, we demonstrate to them the manifold wisdom of God in the cross. Does that excite you tonight to know that? Boy, amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray now.